Hey there. You're listening to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week on This Song, we're going to hear from singer, songwriter, and producer Cautious Clay. But before we get started, I want to let you know that KUTX, the radio station where we make this podcast, and our sister station, KUT, are in the middle of their spring fun drive, which means that if you like this podcast, well, you can take an active role in making sure that it continues to exist. All you have to do is go to KUTX and click the donate button, and within a couple of minutes, you'll be part of the community of listeners who make everything we do here happen, including all our podcasts. Now to Cautious Clay. His given name is Joshua Carpe, and he's a pretty new artist. He released his first single, Cold War, in 2017 and his debut EP, Blood Type, in May of 2018. And we here at KUTX, well, we've been fans of Cautious Clay since that first single. His music is like avant R&B. He takes these serious melodies that just stay with you, and he surrounds them with unexpected sounds and textures. His songs sound so interesting because he came up as a producer, which means that before he was a solo artist, he was producing music and beats for other artists, which gave him lots of time to learn and experiment with what he could do with sound. And it shows in his work, for sure. I spoke to Cautious Clay after his set for our KUTX Live at the Four Seasons show, which is our early morning music party that we throw during South by Southwest. And when I say early, I mean like early. Cautious Clay played at like 9 in the morning, which we are truly grateful for. He hadn't yet released his new EP, Table of Context, but we did talk about that music and about a band that really inspired his thinking about production and music and videos.
The first song that came to mind was probably Bombs Over Baghdad by Outkast. It was actually for two reasons. I think the first one was the music video. I just remember the grass was purple and everything was really purple, and it was like hyper extended color. I just remember being like, whoa, what is that? Like, what is going on here? Second one was the rapping style. I just felt like the intro was so good because it just kind of goes right into Andre 3000's verse. One, two, three. Yeah, it's club national, underground, thunderbounce when I stop the ground. Like a million elephants, a silverback, orangutans, you can't stop a train. Who wants up, don't come unprepared, I'll leave there. But when I leave there, better be a household name. Brother man telling us it ain't gonna rain. So now we sit in a drop top soaking. And then later on, it also became like the production elements of it. There's just so many different influences other than just hip-hop, obviously. Some, like, techno, obviously, vibes, and, like, the drums were just super fast and hard-hitting. I think all three of those check marks really just did it for me as a kid when I was just very young and able to be influenced.
Well, you say you were young. How old were you when you first heard that song? Do you remember?
Probably like 7.
Was it one of the first times that you'd seen like a more psychedelic interpretation of the real world?
Yeah, in a way that was also coupled with a really cool song. I think that that's the formula for, that can be the formula for like really interesting music, is having a good music video.
Were you playing music at the time?
I just started playing music. I just started taking flute lessons, actually.
At 7?
Yeah.
That's an interesting instrument for a 7-year-old to pick up.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually, I mean, to go back to the visual element of it, I watched Aladdin when I was like, yeah, around 7. And I was like, oh, the snake charmer has this instrument in his hand, and I thought it was a flute, and it probably was some sort of a flute gourd type thing, but it didn't end up. When I got, my mom got a flute for me because I was like, I would love to like learn this instrument, and she was like, cool, like let's try that. And so I went for it, but I think it wasn't my initial thought. I thought it was like something else.
You thought you were going to be playing a snake charmer type flute.
Exactly. And then I was sad, but then you know, I made the proper adjustments. My mom was like, well, I got it. So that's what we're going to do.
Did you like playing flute when you were seven?
Did I like it? Yeah, yeah, I did. I mean, I had a really, really great teacher. One of the best, I think, for flute. I mean, he was a beatboxing flute player. His name is Greg Patillo. He actually kind of got famous on YouTube for a little bit. But he was my teacher for the first 2 years that I played flute. We did a bunch of classical stuff, which I was not super into at the time, you know, but I did all of the Handel and Baroque kind of stuff. But then after class, he would always be like, hey, like, want to learn this, you know, this blues? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to, you know? So I think he saw that I had some sort of natural inclination for music, and I think he really nurtured that from a very young age for me.
Well, and he also didn't have, it sounds like, there was no genre distinction between what you could do with mm-hmm. flute, you know yeah. what I mean?
Exactly, which was really a creative inspiration for me, because I feel like he was a huge part of, you know, my entire thesis about music.
What is your thesis about music?
Oh yeah, like there's no rules, that's all. And the, I mean, there's rules to be broken, but I think it's like you can never, you know, limit that type of creativity. Don't stifle creativity.
Cautious Clay is held to that thesis of not limiting his creativity. And you can hear that in his recordings, both the Blood Type EP and his new EP Table of Context. His approach to sound is like expansive on both projects. It's open and experimental, though there are some thematic differences between his first and second EPs.
The Blood Type EP was very much relating to identity and relationships as a whole. And I would say this particular project is more specifically relating to just like relationship between purpose and happiness, and how they can be together, they can also be apart, and you know, how that, you know, potentially relates to your relationships. I've always had a hard time doing things that I don't want to do. Which kind of sounds a little pretentious, but I only mean it in the sense that it's kind of like I couldn't will myself, you know, if I have the means, I couldn't will myself to just like work a 9-to-5 job because it paid me well. My inclination has always just been towards doing things that I enjoy and that I feel like I'm passionate about and can invest the real time and effort in.
But if you actually do that, if you pursue what you feel like is your purpose,
yeah,
then there are, what it sounds like is that there's complications, and it's not a straight line.
Yeah, it might not always work out the way you thought it would, is all right. I'm saying. Yeah. So I think it's just like being content and level headed and yeah, understanding your motivations.
Taking it the wrong way, I never said that I'd stay. Got me looking forward to weekdays, they might get the best of me. Drinking in the lobby, then you go away to entree. Fuck it, like we need a plan, I know you really got time for me.
Have you found that your pursuit of what you want to do and your purpose, does it affect your personal relationships too? Because music is that you make music is a kind of a more solitary endeavor in the first place.
Yeah.
So there's the making, which is maybe doesn't involve a partner.
Right.
And then there's the getting the music out in front of people.
Right.
Which involves leaving.
Exactly. It's very much affected my relationships, but I think it's something that I'm learning more about, and I'm understanding myself better than I ever did. And yeah, I mean, these past 2 years have really been motivated to making music a reality. And now that I'm there, it is more about figuring out a balance between, yeah, my personal life and like what I'm doing in my music. Yeah, 'cause I mean, they're so inextricably linked at the same time. So it's interesting.
I did it all for the no. Did it all for the no good reasons. I set it all for the need. I always knew you would change like seasons.
And one of the things you talked about with Bombs Over Baghdad was that there was two things. There was a visual and a musical component. And
yeah.
I was just talking to your manager and he said, you know, we've got this new project coming out and there's a lot of good music and there's a lot of good videos.
Yeah.
So is that something that you're leaning into more with this current project?
Yes, yes. I really like videos and I've always had ideas. I think I'm in that incubation period right now with visual elements because I certainly am not, I would say, as skilled as director at this point as I'm probably where I was probably, you know, 4 years ago as a producer right now, but as a director. So I'm there's a lot of things I'm learning, but I'm working with a really, really incredible director right now who's been helping facilitate a lot of my ideas. And that's just been really cool. I'm really into that. I mean, I really like the idea of the sentiment of the production with the video, with the music. And at this point, I'm very much invested in making really cool videos. So I think that with that in mind, the sentiment of like making cool videos and cool music together and how that improves the music is certainly something I've taken from that song.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe there'll be some 7-year-old watching YouTube.
Yeah.
Like who sees one of your videos.
And yeah.
It's like, whoa,
that's exactly what I would like to do.
I did it all for the love. Set it all for the need. Yeah. I broke it all for the love. I did it all for the need. Yeah.
And this is Reasons from Cautious Clay's new EP, Table of Context. And I personally am excited to see what comes in this next era where he's more interested in melding sound and visuals. If it's as interesting as his recordings are, I know it's going to be cool. Cautious Clay will be on tour starting in May. You can find his tour dates on the show notes page for this episode at KUTX.org, along with a link to his new EP, Table of Context, because you definitely want to hear the whole thing. And as always, you can find a Spotify playlist on the show notes page for this episode, where you can hear all the songs we referenced all the way through. And that's it. You've come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Thanks to our interns, Felix Kimbrell, Emily Wilson, and Simone Puglia for all their help. Thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast, and yes, it's true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.